All right, I see a red box. I'm looking in that red box. It says the word live. I'm consulting my host manual. Turns out that means, ladies and gentlemen, we are live. And my sincerest apologies to our illustrious guest, but there's no turning back now. He's stuck. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us. And if you love what we do here, very best entertainers, who, by the way, many have autographed albums and books for fans just like you. Now I'm going to put this guy right to work immediately, as if he's getting paid for this and if he needs to. But if you would please do the honors, sir, you are who, sir?
I am Jeff Dunham. I am a comedian and ventriloquist, and I've been doing this since I was 8, 9 years old. So it's been many, many years that I've been on stage and performing. And so thanks for having me. And we look forward to talking about this album and all things comedy.
Yes, we do. And I've really been looking forward to this evening. He's one of the most successful comedians in the world. I think it's fair to say the most successful ventriloquist as well in history, known for incredible characters such as Walter Peanut, Ahmed, the Dead Terrorist, Jose Jalapeno, Achmedes, and of course, Bubba J. The man has sold millions of tickets, performed, I think, before more than 7.7 million people. We're still counting. I think some are still at some of the past venues. And performances, 1,500 plus live shows, and I suspect that can be updated. Headline performances in 20 countries. The man is truly universal. Continues to tour in 2026 with his brilliant latest tour, Artificial Intelligence Tour, and dates are scheduled throughout the year. We'll talk about that. Massive viewer ratings for his broadcast specials. As if he had spare time, he's a best-selling author, a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, a few Guinness Book of World Records to also fill his walls. And at quite a young age, as he intimated, he blossomed as performing for classmates, appearing at the Kiwanis Club and Scout Banquets. I think I might have been at those appearances. And then the television commercials for car dealerships, soon on his way to national appearances while still in high school. Absolutely astounding. Then came the comedy club circuit, larger venues. And the guy plays, man, has sold out arenas, the same ones that Taylor Swift and Metallica perform. And think about that. He has 9 record-breaking comedy specials to his credit. In addition to commercials, he's appeared in film, television, cable, and streaming services. And also the subject of 2 biography documentaries on A&E. I checked to get an update. He is closing in on 5 million. It's now 4.8 million YouTube subscribers, 13 million Facebook followers and growing, over 1 billion views. I absolutely can't count that high, and sold over 7 million DVDs. And apparently it's true. People are still watching and buying DVDs. And he's also been named Billboard's top comedy tour 3 years in a row. But tonight, as he said, we're celebrating his forthcoming new comedy album, I'm With Cupid. So buckle up. Let's kick this show off. Sam, if you would, please roll the video.
Thank you, Steve. You made it very easy for me.
And right now, I think Jeff Dunham is going, who booked me on the Rock and Roll Channel show? The man is the pure essence of rock and roll, man. And his comedy, I think the tone, the humor, he defines it for sure. I'm Steve Harkins, your host on Talk Shop Live. Once again, please welcome to Talk Shop Live's Rock and Roll Channel, the one, the only, accept no imitations, truly a brilliant mind and one of our greatest comedians of all time, Jeff Dunham. Jeff, thanks so much for being here this evening.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, that intro was awesome. I was looking at it going, wow. But you know what? I got to say, on the road since 2008, we've been doing the arena tours. And I've got a whole crew. We call it the rock and roll show, a comedy show on the road, because we have 2 18-wheelers. I got a crew of 10 guys. We carry our own lights and sound and video wall. And there's 2 tour buses. And so we have fun out there. So I do kind of try and look at it like a rock and roll schedule. It's pretty great. So it is an honor to be here.
I appreciate it. Yeah, man. And you absolutely are rock and roll royalty. I think the only difference is, I think backstage, it's not like Caligula. It's a little more funny backstage, but You know, that's the only difference.
I gotta tell you, it's kind of boring backstage with me. It's really kind of sad. And this is a little bit of the nitty gritty. I'm on stage for usually my shows are 2 hours and talking the entire time. There's never that a couple of seconds go by that it isn't my voice doing something. So it's so boring on the road for me, because you know what I do after a show? I get on my tour bus all by myself. I shut the door and I'm there. I don't care where we go or what we're doing. I'm in that tour bus for 21 hours all by myself, not talking to anybody because of my voice. And then I get out somewhere, we set up, I do the next show. It's showbiz, man.
I always say people assume that, you know, the hardest job you have is just for the 2 hours when you're up there on stage. That's the fun. The real work is, as you described, the other 22 hours.
Yeah, it is. And but usually what I'm doing on the bus, though, it's good because we only do 8 shows a month. So it's 4 and 4. We do every other week. And but for those 4 days, I'm sitting there writing almost the entire time, just writing new jokes or noodling with whatever I did the night before. And so no two shows are exactly alike. And that's how we've done. It's actually been, we just finished this past weekend. We shot my 14th special. And it's going to be this is the only one that will not be evergreen, because I've done a couple of Christmas specials. I did a Valentine special. I did a Halloween monster special. Those can be repeated every year. But this special is for the 250 years of the United States and celebrating that. So on July 5th, no one will care anymore.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, but that's the one special I'm actually looking forward to. The other ones, I'm pretty much crossing them off my list. Going, I don't think I'll be watching that, or not to get political or anything. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not feeling it. I'm excited to hear that. And congratulations. Man, that's just thing. I mean, it truly is. Where do we find you this fine evening, Jeff?
I'm at in my warehouse in lovely Los Angeles, California, and it's I don't know what side of the aisle anybody's on, but it's an interesting place to live right now. We'll put it at that.
Yeah, no question about it. I'll tell you what, from what I can see too, man, it's just an amazing collection of automobiles. How long did you start the process of collecting cars?
Well, my wife and I, Audrey and I, got married almost 14 years ago. And when I met her, I owned 2 cars.
Yeah. Is that right?
So she has been a supporter or an enabler. I don't know which one it is, but she loves this stuff almost as much as I do. So, I don't get to make the, my wife hates this kind of thing. The only thing she worries about is where the next one's going to sit, because they end up at the house. But yeah. So I started this collection about 15 years ago.
How many cars?
I think there's about 144 at this point. And there's new stuff. There's old stuff. There's classics. There's muscle cars. There's a handful of exotics. Not very many. Because I love the cars that start conversations. For example, one of the ones that I have is we call it the Humbeast. And I'm not much into rat rods. But these guys took a military Humvee, and rat rotted it out. And, it is unbelievable. You take that thing to a car show and you can take $6 million Bugatti, whatever you want to put next to it. And people are going to be sitting around the Humvee talking about it.
No doubt about it, for sure. You know, and you also, helped me check another box. Cause I was wondering, you know, why recently was Jay Leno trembling so much? I thought maybe it's just he's getting older. Turns out he found out somebody nearby in the neighborhood had 144 cars, man. And he's like looking over his shoulder as far as competing with this collection.
Jay's a great guy. He's had me on
his
show.
I love Jay. I kid him. Yeah.
He's had me on his show a handful of times. And that, talk about an encyclopedia of car knowledge. You know, they say that when a man dies, that a library burns down. And that Jay Leno, whenever it is, and hopefully it's a long time from now, whenever he leaves this planet, the amount of knowledge that guy has accumulated in his head about the automotive industry is just unfathomable.
Absolutely. But enough about Jay. I just want to say, fans, if you want to ask Jeff a question or if you have a comment, use the chat function. We'll get to as many as possible. All kidding aside, Jeff, and I really do mean this, you're affiliated with being an entertainer, providing entertainment, but especially in this day and age, what you do, I think, is extraordinarily important. You bring people together. I think entertainment, you know, I say this to a lot of musicians as well, and through your message, your comedy, your art, regardless of culture, age, gender, religious beliefs, or political affiliations. Everyone's a unified front. That's a really powerful thing. And right now, that's potent entertainment medicine that we need more of today than ever. So kudos to you, and thank you for what you do.
Thank you, Steve. I have said that for a long time, that you know, that comedy is the last form of free speech, and that's been stepped on quite a bit in the last few years. But it's also one of the most unifying things we have. It's one of those arts that can bring everybody together. And I, you know, I talked about this with Bill Maher. I was on his program. I think they just dropped it like yesterday or day before. But one of the things I talked about him with was that when I did one of my world tours back in 2013 or 14, I think it was, I found myself in the middle of Abu Dhabi doing a show for 4,000 Muslims. And there they were, and it wasn't expatriates. It was the natives from there.
Right.
And all the guys in the dish dash and the women a few rows back all in black. And I was a little bit terrified of why in the world are they coming to see me? It turns out I have a character named Ahmed, the dead terrorist. Yeah.
Right.
That was their absolute favorite. Now, here's, Steve, this is how I know that the world is mostly good.
Yeah.
Two nights later, I'm in the middle of Tel Aviv, Israel, for 4,000 Jewish people, and I did the exact same show. And what am I on stage talking about? I'm talking about marriage and family and kids and food and dating and all these universal topics that most of us share in common. And and it's all comedy, and we all can laugh about the same things. And so, you know, I get to see the world through rose-colored glasses, you know, because people that show up to my show want to laugh. But it's amazing how many different cultures that I get to go in front of, and even just around this country, and we can all laugh at the same things. And it's just such a unification. And that's one of the reasons I love doing it so much. And you're right. Those 2 hours on stage are they're just the medicine that you live for. My doctor tells me I have high testosterone. And I don't honestly think it's because you get on stage and you're getting all that feedback and you're getting pumped up by everything that's going on in that room. So much energy, so much fun, so much laughter and happiness.
And of course you like speed home because you're elated after that doctor's appointment. You want to high five your wife going, I got high testosterone. And she's like, get away from me. Right.
Well, there's that too.
But I didn't mean to open up that can of worms. Trust me. I could speak volumes on it. I'm sure you're doing well. Listen, congratulations, man, on your upcoming new comedy vinyl album, On Purple Vinyl, entitled I'm With Cupid. And we're kind of from the same era. We were talking about the Beatles, and you made my night even before we started this show, and I thank you for that. But the resurgence of vinyl has to feel incredible, knowing that you grew up with it. Man, it was like the format for music when we were growing up. Then it died this unceremonious death for some 20 years. And here we are today talking about a new project for Jeff Dunham, and your project is on vinyl.
You know, when I was in junior high, I was doing the ventriloquism, and that was my regular gig. But there were some weekends in junior high and high when I didn't have any shows. So what would I do? I was a DJ, and I hated dancing, and I didn't do any dates. And so I started a DJ business. So I still have all my old albums, a bunch of 45s. And in the other room there, I've got literally 10 turntables, all different kinds of turntables. A bunch of analog speakers that I, you know, I'll get an old analog speaker that I love. Well, speakers are analog, but I'll get an old speaker that I love and refurbish it. I have the old analog little amps, the things that literally weighed 55 pounds.
Yeah.
And so, you're right. I'm from that era when that's what it was. It was vinyl. Cassettes came along. That didn't sound so great. Or the 8-tracks came along. Forget that. Then cassettes and CDs. It was compressed. And it's so great that the vinyl is back. And my daughter, who's 30 years old, she said, Dad, I got a record player. I go, you did? She goes, I like to listen to records in my room.
I love that, Jeff. There's hope for the future. That's so, man, it warms the cockles of my heart when you tell me that.
Can I by the way, I get. I love this. They did some great artwork on this. And Steve, you and I may be close in age, but you see that bicycle?
I do.
The Schwinn orange crate?
Yeah.
eBay is an evil thing.
Is that a banana bicycle seat as well?
Oh, banana? Sure. Yeah. On the crates, they had the bicycles, the Schwinn. And look, there's a stick shift on it.
Oh, my God. That's so great. Hey, man, what a brilliant cover, man. Since you brought it up, thanks for sharing that. Tell me about how was that shot? Who came up with the idea? It's a great cover.
And Matt, my photographer, is sitting right over here. He does all kinds of stuff for me. But Matt, you shot this picture, right?
Yeah.
Right, you shot that picture. And then all the other, the dummies and stuff, we just kind of held them up in the air. There's a little Photoshop magic there. So, he shot that. He did that. But the other thing, Steve, that you mentioned, I got to show this right now. I love this. Yeah. And I'll, by the way, when I autograph these, I'll be autographing them there, I think. So it'd be very nice. Look, it's like Matt left an open field just for an autograph.
He's always thinking that, Matt, and I don't even know the guy.
But look, I love the purple album, and this is fantastic.
That's beautiful.
Is the light good? I don't know, you can't see it. But I want to show you something, Steve. I told you before we got started that you're probably going to see me play this. Unlike, do artists ever get, as a guest, do they actually put the record on a turntable and play it while you're talking? No.
This has never happened in over 500 entertainers appearing on our show, Jeff, just so you know.
Okay, but this is going to be my favorite thing all week. Okay, so here we have the record, right? And here we have a Volkswagen van. Do you know what this is?
Yeah. VW Bug, right?
Oh, it's more than that. There's a needle under there.
Oh, no way.
There's the speaker right there. So let's see if this works, if I can do it without dropping it. All right, ready? Okay, here we go. I'm going to put this on here. Here we go. Okay, here we go.
Listen, folks.
Can you recite a couple for us? Sure. You have one for long-time married couples. Oh, absolutely. Here we go. Our love all these years has been a blissful occurrence. I wish you would die so I could collect the insurance.
There you go. Texas, I can't catch it. Ready? Now, there we go. Here, let me have
that. That is absolutely amazing. And to think you're not getting paid for this, Jeff, you know, I kind of feel like we should ditch the album and just sell the Volkswagen, cartridge and needle.
Yeah, here we go. And the good part is it's magnetic, so it's not a ceramic needle that's screwing up the album. There you go.
You have just made Rock and Roll Channel Talk Shop Live history, Jeff. And for that, I thank you. Your job is not done yet, but man, the bar's pretty high after that. That was pretty amazing. Did not see that one coming.
I looked it up on eBay. Matt, they're not on Amazon, right?
No, not anymore.
We found one on eBay last night, and I grabbed it. Yeah, there's a couple more left. They'll be gone by the time we get off of this thing.
Yeah, no question. And, of course, you don't get a dime for it, which is unfair, unfair. Hey, listen, man, I love how you tackle subject matter. Perhaps others, you know, may deem too sensitive to tackle. You know, we've gone through some periods of time here where there's been some sensitivities heightened, and it's not a criticism, but, you know, I assume working as a ventriloquist liberates you to lift the filters and to go there, you know, in areas that maybe other comedians have got to think twice of. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. And the reason is probably not what most people think. They think, oh, you can say anything to the dummy you want. No, that's not the point. The point, what I love about what I do, and if you want to talk about difficult subjects, is that it's point and counterpoint. So if the character, the dummy, says something that's not quite right or in tune with what most people think or whatever, just takes one side of the subject, I can take the other side and we can argue it back and forth. And what are the ingredients to comedy? Conflict and tension. And so I can create my own conflict and tension on stage, and just like in a sitcom. And so that's why I love what I do, because whatever topic it is, I can discuss versus being just a monologist where you can give both sides of it, but is not quite as entertaining as having an argument about it with another on stage. So, yeah. And that's one of the things I love most about what I do, is that you can dive into those areas that a lot of people can't. And also it's a little bit like South Park, because those second graders on South Park say some horrible, horrible things, but they get away with it because they're animated and they're second graders.
Exactly. In that order. But yeah, it's pretty amazing. Now, as an only child, you're raised in Dallas. You received, as I understand, a ventriloquist dummy at age 9. And to be clear, it wasn't because your parents expressed concern. You were talking to yourself and they felt you needed a friend, right? I mean, there was more behind it. It wasn't that specifically.
They didn't talk about that in the press, but that might have been it, Steve.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry. I should have cleared that with you first. My apologies.
Yeah, no, it was a simple simple way it happened was Mom and I were walking through a toy store in November of my third grade year, and like every kid, I'm picking up things off the shelf that I'd seen on TV and said, Mom, I want this, and there was the ventriloquist dummy, and I thought, oh, I've seen this on TV, one of these on TV, I want to make him talk, that would be fun. And you're right, I had no brothers and sisters to discuss things with, and also no brothers and sisters to tell me that what I was doing was, you know, kind of sad. But I got the dummy and taught myself. And the first show was a book report in the third grade. And then I started picking on my classmates with it. And then it went to talent shows. And I'm making fun of the principal and the other teachers, often to junior high. And I think, Steve, that I didn't get beat up on a regular basis because I was on stage making fun of stuff that nobody else could make fun of. And I think there was some sort of level of acceptance or maybe on the verge of cool. I don't know. But oh, I that's why it was the subject matter and the way I went about it and being a little bit irreverent that kept me from being just, you know, a total nerd.
I think you just saved lives. I mean, every kid needs to buy a ventriloquist doll, man. I'll never get beat up at school.
Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah, you're right.
Encourage your kids to do following your footsteps. And I'm like, No, show business is a rough road to hoe. It's like,
boy, that's a whole nother show. Yeah, you're exactly right about that. You know, do you have a sense of humor? Do you think that you developed it, you know, based on your upbringing? So, I mean, for example, I mean, were your parents funny? Did you grow up in an environment where there was humor around, or where did it come from? Where were the seeds planted?
Well, I was adopted. So my parents are my parents. That's it. Or were my parents who passed away. But and so I never considered anything else. But no, the DNA there had nothing to do with it. And my dad was a dry sense of humor, was a funny guy, but not wacko funny telling jokes or life of the party forever, ever. My mom was as straight laced as it can get. And by the way, I was a ventriloquist long before I was funny. So when you're in the third grade and you develop some sort of talent like that, it's cute when there's a third and fourth grader, even a junior high kid with a dummy telling woodpecker jokes. Great. Yeah. It's cute. And that I got away with that for a while. But by the time you get it late into high school and certainly in college and beyond, if you're going to be a on stage entertaining, first, you have to learn to be an entertainer. Second, if you're going to be a comedian, you got to be funny. So it wasn't until I, you know, started going out to Los Angeles and doing guest sets at the comedy club and literally following people like Jerry Seinfeld that I realized if I'm going to go toe to toe with these guys, they need to be funny. So the ventriloquism became secondary. And then it was like, I have to write material for me and the dummy that's just as funny as anybody else. And I think that formula has been what's helped my 15 minutes last a little longer than anybody expected.
Yeah, but I don't think it's just something where, you know, it's institutional where you can teach somebody to do that. You still have to have an element of that gift, you know, in terms of that sense of humor to be able to allow it to flourish, my opinion.
Well, there's that. Sure. You know, you say, you know, it makes me angry sometimes when they say that athlete is so gifted. He or she worked their butt off to get to the point they are. And that's the same thing. I think it's the same thing with a sense of humor. I was not funny. I look back at the stuff that I wrote in junior high. It was a learning process. And the fire is getting on stage and dying in front of an audience. And when I would in front of the Melrose audience at the Melrose Improv, I died 1,000 deaths many, many times. And it was just excruciating and painful and terrible. But you learn from that. You learn from your failures. And when you're on stage telling jokes and you're not getting laughs, that's your college right there.
You're right. And you know what? It is the most dangerous and I think, unrelenting occupation or area within the entertainment field because you're up there by yourself. If you're in a band, you're bombing. At least you got instruments to protect each other. You know, you got each other's back. You're up there by yourself. That is the loneliest moment in one's life. And it has you constantly rethinking, did I make the right decision? Am I doing the right thing and what I'm doing here?
Yeah. I the guys that go up at open mic nights are just like, it's just so excruciating. When I see that, I'm like, I've forgotten how hard that was. And when you get to a certain point, it's just like a musical artist as well. When you get to a certain point, there's an acceptance and an expectance. And that audience is there. They paid to see you. They know you're going to be great. They want you to be great, and they help you along. And it's a given synergy that just happens. And so it's a little easier for me at this point. You know, I used to do corporate dates, and there was nothing worse. A corporate date is like the whatever grocery store chain is going to have the convention or the meeting for all their top salespeople, and they're going to have it in Palm Springs or whatever. So you got a bunch of business guys who are out, and this is before I was known, right? So you got all these guys out there playing golf all day long, or they're playing tennis. They're in the heat. They come in, they have a giant meal. They're drinking. They give out the awards. Now it's 11 o'clock at night, and they go, and now guys, your entertainment, a puppet show.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, that bar was open bar, just to be clear.
Yeah. And so that's a tough one. And that's another thing that will teach you to be funny really, really fast, because that's a horrible place to die in front of a bunch of businessmen that are drunk. It's a terrible place. But now, you know, with a little bit of fame and when there's a decent percentage of people who already know who you are, you're pre-sold and it's a little bit easier. And that's also why these 14 specials have come along, is because if I'm doing 2 hours on stage, I'll write all day long. And if I have some brand new stuff, I'll sprinkle it throughout the show. Yeah. And if the joke works, I keep it. If it doesn't, I throw it away. And then the stuff that does work, I'll build bigger and bigger bits. And eventually, after a year and a half, that whole entire 2 hours is folded over into a brand new show, and we tape it, and that's the next special.
I love it. You know, my only disappointment this evening with this show is, I didn't charge a cover charge because you're giving a master class on how to be a comedian. I mean, truly, in like 10 minutes or less, five easy lessons. Jade Coy saying, I love Peanut. I mean, everybody's just expressing like their favorite characters out there.
What is his name? Steve, did I hear you say that someone said they loved Peanut? Well, here I am, and thank you for having me, and it's good to see you guys. Thanks a lot. And on Instagram, up here, and you guys down here, it's a lot of fun, so thanks for having me. Good to see you. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Peanut, for that unexpected surprise appearance. That was Jade Coy. Aaron is also echoing how much he loves Peanut, but he did say Ahmed and Jose and Walter are up there too. And Peanut, he wanted to know.
I locked them in one of the trunks of the cars over there, so it's just me. Walter's down here. No one cares. It's just me.
Yeah. Yeah, rightfully where they should be. And, he wants to know if Peanut, Ahmed, Jose, and Walter were wrestlers, what would that be like? He has a vision of, I'm not thinking that's probably not a good idea.
Okay. See, this just proves that there's a lot of folks in this country smoking too much weed. That's all that question.
Yeah. Speaking of Bill Maher. And by the way, he did not force, he did not inhale on that show, right? For the record, Jeff.
You know, I guess I could have, and I didn't.
Or secondhand, maybe.
Right. Exactly.
We love Bill.
What is that? I mean, yeah, I would not want to debate that guy in any subject whatsoever. Huh. He is,
Absolutely. Joshua saying greetings from Tallahassee, Florida. Really love all of Jeff's work and his funny humor with his dolls. We've got Mary Aslan, who is saying greetings from the Netherlands. Love all the characters Jeff does. And also we've got James saying how much he appreciates the fact you're taking time out from your busy schedule. And Aaron is a Bubba hater, so we're just going to move on. We don't support hatred here. That's just not Bubba, right.
Bubba Jay, he's just a good old boy.
He's a good old boy, and he's locked up in a crate somewhere. He can't even defend himself. That's just not right. Edmundo is saying hello from Santos, Brazil. Do you do like a lot of South American dates?
You know what? It's funny. I don't know why we have not. I mean, I've done a bunch of. We're getting ready to go to Australia for the third time this summer, and we've done a bunch all over Europe and the UK and South Africa. I don't know why. Who rock guys tour in South America, right?
South Americans embrace the U.S. entertainers, I'm told, unlike anyone else. So you need to talk to your agent and get him on the case.
Well, I have Jose Jalapeno on a stick. So
good luck with that. Yeah.
he speaks Spanish, but I do not.
Yeah. Well, all right. He'll get you booked. Hopefully he'll negotiate a good rate for you while you're at it. But it's highly recommended. I mean, you know, every musician that's been down there, you know, just says that they're some of the most passionate fans and greatly appreciate the entertainment.
You know what? What the heck? And then I got to talk to my people about that.
Very good. Mark that down, and I'm going to make a note if Jeff ever agrees, which he probably won't, after this experience, to come back on to charge a cover charge. So we're learning a lot. But tonight we're celebrating the forthcoming vinyl comedy release from one of America's all-time great comedians and truly the all-time great ventriloquist, Jeff Dunham, entitled I'm With Cupid. It's exclusively available here on Talk Shop Live on beautiful purple vinyl. The man has displayed it live, real time. So you've seen it, and he played it with this VFW bug, VW bug. I'm going to be going to the VFW later to have a drink, if that is such a thing. And I want to say the album is released on Friday, July 17th. However, you fans on Talk Shop Live can purchase copies right here, right now. And as Jeff's way of thanking you fine fans, he's graciously agreed to sign a limited number of copies purchased here. To order your copies, hit the shop button on Talk Shop Live on socials, Jeff's Facebook and Instagram. Comment the word shop, I'll DM you a link. And if you're watching on YouTube, click the link in the description. The rest is quick, easy, and pain-free. And there's no greater way to show how much you appreciate the brilliant man's artistry, by the way. And, you know, as I said, it's quick, easy, and pain-free, unlike the slight arthritic condition that Jeff may have developed signing for you fine fans. So some of the proceeds may go towards his recovery program. And look at that, right on cue. Who knew he was coming on?
Yeah, so Walter?
Yes, I've been listening, and his name is Steve, right? That's in Talk Shop Live. Yes, thank you for having me, Steve. I'm Walter.
Walter, tell them about your outfit.
It is not my fault that I am dressed like this.
Why are you dressed like this?
Oh, I'm dressed like this because we just finished our 4th of July special, the 250-year thing. Pick me up a little, Megan, show. See, this is what I have to put up with, Steve. I have to dress like this. I look like a moron.
Walter, you've taken a bullet for the team, truly, man. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Where are you, by the way? What do you have? What are those all record albums behind you? Is that what those are?
Those are record albums and CDs and books. Yeah.
Steve, what do you actually do for a living?
I don't do anything. I'm homeless, actually. And you know, I just con people like Jeff into doing these shows. But
that's
thanks for asking.
What trailer you have there? It's lovely.
I really appreciate that, Walter. And can I say that, you know what? I'm sorry that you had to wear that outfit, but man, I love your Cupid getup, and we're going to get to that in a little while.
I'm sorry you didn't shave. Leave him alone. Sorry.
Love you too.
I was on that album. Did you know that?
It was pretty funny. Walter came out in a Cupid outfit, and yeah, it was pretty great.
I would say it was brave as well. You know, I tried to fit into that thing. I could barely get my hand into it.
You know what else?
I'll quit the comedy thing. Sorry.
It was good, Steve. We all laughed. I heard the crowd. It was fantastic. By the way, Steve, I think you guys are geniuses. You're releasing a record album with a ventriloquist. Are you morons?
I'm going to go out. I'm probably stick my neck out and go on record as saying, yeah, probably a moron. But you know what? I made the commitment. I believe in the man, and we're doing it.
You know why Jeff agreed to it? Because on that entire album, that's an hour long?
Yeah.
Not once do you see his lips move. It's amazing.
It is. It is. Duct tape, man. It's just, you know, it works wonders. You know, at least that's for beginners like me. That's what I use.
They're a funny guy, Steve. I should come sit on your lap, then we'll do a show.
All right. As long as you promise to wear that outfit, you can sit on my lap anytime.
I'll wear the naked one. You're going to sit down. I'm sitting down now. Thanks, Steve. Standing. You're doing a fine job. I don't care what they say in the comments.
I don't care either, Walter. And thank you. You're a fine man. Well, and there we go. Hey, let's talk about how I'm With Cupid evolved. I mean, conceptually, to begin with, Jeff. I mean, it started with the tour, did it not, in the show?
Well, what happens in the way the specials come about is we come up with some sort of theme. And I didn't want to be the guy that always doing all the holidays, but we did a couple of the most obvious ones. We did a Christmas. My first Christmas special was back in 2008, I guess it was. 2008. Yeah. And we did that Christmas. It went over great. Then the next holiday, we did a couple more specials. Then another one we did was called Minding the Monsters. It was a monster one, so Halloween kind of theme. And then, you know, again, I'm not going to go through all the holidays and do a special, but I started thinking, well, maybe a Mother's Day one or a Valentine's. It's like, wait a minute, you know, love is universal. There's all kinds of humor about jokes about relationships and broken relationships and right. Married too long and all that. So yeah, so it just started like that. And I don't know how long I worked on that one. It was probably 16, 17 months of developing the comedy and coming up with the bits and coming up with 2 hours of material in a year and a half is actually a pretty good accomplishment. The one we just shot this past weekend, we shot it in Houston, the 250, that one I came up with in 2 months. So yeah, it was,
wow.
Yeah, that one's going to be for free on YouTube. So not going to be on any platform. But
when will it be posted? Will it be posted literally on the 4th of July or?
Yeah, hopefully we'll do it a week to 10 days beforehand so it'll have some time to run. Because like I say, on July 5th, I don't know how many people are going to care. But this one was the Valentine's Day, the I'm with Cupid. That one was just, again, so much fun because Ahmed dressed up like Ahmedina, and which was the Greek god of killer love. Not killer love, healer love. Here's a little bit of trivia. Okay, yeah. So the tracks on the album, they came out with these, and one of the tracks is the god of killer love, and that's Ahmed. And I've never, ever, ever said killer with Ahmed. He's always I kill you. And somebody wrong, and it said killer, and we had entire reprint done of all the album covers because of that one word.
Are you kidding? That's the second most popular item on eBay, the original pressing of it, next to that VW I think needle, you know, that's blowing up.
You know, I thought we do have all those other covers. Maybe I should just sign them as the wrong ones.
We were talking about the Beatles. The Beatles once had that infamous cover called the Butcher cover, and they ended up scrapping it. And turns out somebody grabbed a lot of those album covers somehow. They flooded the market. Now they're worth a fortune. So something to think about.
Yeah, maybe one day.
Yeah, maybe one day. Exactly right. How did the concept, transposed to from this 2 hour event into a comedy album? Was that a bit torturous of a process to figure out how to narrow things down? You can't fit 2 hours on a vinyl album, obviously.
It's a matter of paring it down to the best cut of meat, the most delicious pieces of fruit. And that's what it was. We just cut it down to the stuff that was the funniest. And there's another formula that I've used for years. And you talk about a comedy class. When I was first coming up, was when Carson was still the host of The Tonight Show. Yeah. And back in those days, if you had one spot as a stand-up comedian on The Tonight Show and you did well, your career was off and running. Yeah. And I auditioned for The Tonight Show. I got eight different times I auditioned and I got no, you're not funny enough. No. And after years and years, finally the ninth time I auditioned, but in years, a few years, the ninth time I got it. And I went on, and my first time on The Tonight Show was a Friday night, Bob Hope, BB King were the guests. Carson was the host. And I look back at that tape now and I kind of cringe, but back then that was the best I could have done. And it was great. But the way that I learned to build my act was working on those spots. I was on with Carson five times and then on with Leno a bunch of times after that. But the way I built it was I built it in those 5 minute segments, my act, because I was always trying to get the next set for TV ready. And I did math. Somebody pointed this out to me once, that if a comedian is doing well on a late night talk show with a late night audience, like on The Tonight Show, you can literally put a stopwatch to it. And if the guy's getting a laugh every 10 seconds, he's killing. If he's getting a laugh every 15 seconds, he's dying. Wow. So to get six laughs a minute, that was my goal. And if you could do that, you're doing really, really well. So my entire act now is built with that old school setup punchline, setup punchline, setup punchline. And it's more laughs per minute than most comedians get. A lot of guys are storytellers. Fantastic. Right. He was a storyteller. Gabriel Iglesias is a storyteller. Fabulously entertaining. It's just a different style of comedy.
Right. Man, I love that insight. And of course, you got called over, right? That's what one thing is that, you know, you look down below you after you get through your short set and you're like, clean up on aisle four, right? Because it's got to be probably the most frightening thing you've ever faced. And then it's, do you get called over or don't you get called over? You don't go under five times if you don't get called over.
Well, and to be called over on your first time as a comic hardly ever happened. It happened to Freddie Prinze.
Yeah.
And there were a couple other guys. So it's, I don't think even on one hand you can count on how many guys got called over their first time. And I just happened to be one of those. And Freddie DeCordova, who was Carson's, was it producer?
Yeah.
During rehearsal, he said, don't you have another guy? And I go, yeah, I have Walter. He goes, the old man, right? I go, yeah. I go, do you have him here? I go, well, he's in the car. I go, well, bring him in and put him behind the couch. And I said, for what? He goes, I just really think Johnny's going to like you. Just in case, put Walter behind the couch. I'm like, okay. And I thought, this is never going to happen. But I had a couple of jokes ready in my head just in case it did. At the end of my set with Peanut and with Jose Jalapeno, everything was great. I couldn't believe it. I took my bow. And then the floor director went, and I'm like, over there and talk to that guy? And Letterman said it one time. He said, talking to Carson is like talking to the guy on the $5 bill. What are you going to, chat? So I go over to the couch. I fumble around a little bit. He asked me about, I'm a helicopter pilot. He asked me about that. I didn't know what I was doing. And then he finally said, don't you have somebody else here? And I went, oh yeah. And I pulled Walter out and Walter looks around. I goes, do you know where we are? And he goes, yeah, I don't give a damn. And I get a couple of the times mixed up, but he looks over at Carson. I go, do you know this guy? He goes, oh yeah, it's my wife's first husband. So
perfect.
And then Ed McMahon, do you remember he used to do the Publishers Clearinghouse
thing? Sweepstakes? Yeah.
So for those who don't know, the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstake was you had to mail in, well, you get a mailer in the mail, and you got to mail it in, and they might draw your name, and they'll show up at your house with balloons and millions of dollars.
Yeah,
and
so to win the lottery.
Yeah, and they would mail these things out. So I looked over it. I looked over and I said, do you know this guy? And he looks over at Ed. Walter looks at Ed and he goes, yeah, don't you have some envelopes to lick? You know, and at the end of the show, you know, when you're in commercial break, Johnny didn't talk to people he didn't know. He would just sit there. It was kind of dark. They'd put it, and he'd be sitting there smoking and whatever. And I turned to him. I said, Mr. Carson, when the show's over at the end, would you mind thanking me for coming? Because I think I have a joke. He goes, yeah, sure. No problem. End of the show. He turns to us. He goes, well, Jeff and Walter, thanks for coming. I hope you can come back again soon. Walter looks at Carson and he goes, yeah, it'd be a cold day in hell before you get me back here. So
classic.
Got a big laugh. Yeah. So it was good.
I'll tell you what, boy, that doesn't happen, you know, from the kindness of their hearts as far as charity goes, man. It's earned, you know, for sure. Hey, let's check out a moment from Jeff Dunham's forthcoming new comedy album, On with Cupid. Here's a Keeler Love. We were just talking about it. Love this this bit. Sam, if you would, please roll the digital.
What's my name? Archimedes. Archimedes! I am the ancient Greek god of Keeler Love. Silence! I love you. Really? Yes, it's silence! I love you. That's different. Yes, I know. I call it Keeler Love.
Okay, yeah. I got it.
I kill you with love.
And what is your job, Archimedes?
I am a god.
I didn't know that being a god was a job.
And I didn't know that talking to dolls was a job, but here we freaking are.
Just absolutely brilliant, man. Love the evolution from Ahmed. I mean, it's
by the
just...
way, here's a little trivia. You know when he says, I kill you with love?
Yeah.
You know what? Got that?
No.
From Michael Jackson's This Is It. Did you see the film?
Because
Michael Jackson would be on stage telling the musicians and what to do, and he'd be like almost scolding them, and he'd go, blah, 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 with love.
It's brilliant.
Love that. Excellent. Yeah.
Love that. And I'll tell you what else I love, man. We got Tana Fecho saying, hey, you're the best. Saw you last year in Pensacola. Saw you at the Fox. This is Chris in Detroit about a month back. Really appreciated the show. And, you know, everybody's calling for you to unbox or uncrate, you know, your other friends out there. But, man, we are so fortunate that we got two special guest appearances. Jeff is calling, being called out from Ayub, a fan from Kuwait. There we go.
Wow, look at that. That's fantastic.
That is fantastic, man. You know, are truly universal.
I do not take a bit of this for granted. It's like, you know, I wake up sometimes and I go, there's not a month that goes by that at some point during that month I hadn't thought, how in the world, you know, and I know that I'm going. There's four things that surprised me after I moved to Hollywood in 1988. I drove here. The car I drove here in 1988 was a Nissan Pathfinder. I had $4,000 to my name and the dummies in the back. And I drove out here to seek fame and fortune. And I lived in a single room with some friends. But there are four things. I might forget what the fourth one is, but I'll go with three right now. There were three things that have surprised me my career so far. Number one was going to arenas. My goal when I got here was to first get popular enough to be able to play the comedy clubs. And then I thought after I got the comedy clubs, I want to be in theaters like the big comedians. I want to play to 2,000 people. Well, we started that, and then they finally said, well, it's time to go to arenas. I go, arenas? What do you mean an arena? And they said, you have to get on a bus. And I didn't know what a tour bus was. I go, a bus? Why can't I get on a plane? Why have to get a bus? So they had to explain what a tour bus was to me. I'm like, oh, I can live on it. Great. Yeah. So that was the thing. We started doing these giant arenas of, you know, 10, 15. I think the biggest I've done, I don't know how many thousands. It's just cuckoo crazy. So that was an amazing surprise. The other was going international. I thought, how could I go international? But then this thing called YouTube came along. That's when I really Spark of Insanity, my second special. And that was on Comedy Central. And it was with I introduced Ahmed the Dead Terrorist. And literally things, well, figuratively, they exploded. And we're all over the world doing shows. So that. The third thing was getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. What? Yeah. How in the world? And so... And the fourth thing, I'll think of it in a minute.
Yeah, it'll come to you. We still have a little bit of time. Penn wants to know, do your puppets breed? And as your agent for the hour, I advise you not to answer that question, Jeff, unless you want to.
Breed? Is that the word?
Breed. Breed. Yeah. Breed?
I think he said breed.
Breed with a D. Moving right along. We've got Rosemary, who's from Brazil, once again. There we go.
Fantastic. I should go down to Brazil and do a show. I mean, let me ask you a question. This is a stupid question from a guy that's
no such thing.
Okay. So, English is the number one language in the world, but is it in whatever countries in South America, do they speak English as well and learn English as a second language as well as they do in European countries, et cetera? Is that
Jeff?
Is that...
You're absolutely right. I'm stupid. I have no answer for you. That's a good question, though. It is.
It's not a stupid question unless the other person can't answer it either.
Yeah, I'm glad I lived up to it. It's fulfilled the bill. But I won't go to sleep at night unless we get that answered. Maybe one of our fans can answer that question. And again, I just want to remind everybody, we're celebrating this amazing talent, one of America's all-time great comedians, and the all-time great ventriloquist, unquestionably in my mind, and many others, Jeff Dunham. The album is entitled I'm with Cupid. It's exclusively available here on Talk Shop Live on beautiful purple vinyl. And the album releases Friday, July 17th. Countdown is on. So after you get through this amazing upcoming 4th of July special, you still have more to look forward to. Now, you fans can purchase your copies right here, right now. And as Jeff's way of thanking you fine fans, he's graciously agreed to sign a limited number of copies of the vinyl, signing it right on the album cover, which is amazing. He showed you where he's going to sign it, but you can't return it if he missed that spot and signed it somewhere else, just so you know. Order your copies, hit the shop button on Talk Shop Live on socials, Facebook and Instagram, comment shop will DM you a link. And if you're watching on YouTube, just click the link in the description and the rest is quick and easy. And there's no greater way to show how much you appreciate this brilliant man's artistry than by actually owning a copy of this upcoming vinyl release, I'm with Cupid. Let's check out another moment There's so many great ones from Jeff's forthcoming vinyl comedy album with Cupid. Here's Bubba J drinking and thinking. Sam, if you would, please roll the digital.
The Valentine's edition of Bubba J's drinking and thinking. For Valentine's Day, my wife said she wanted her favorite flower, so I gave her this quick. First time someone wished me happy VD, I thought, how the hell do they know? When a woman says that I must love her from afar, what that really means is that she filed a restraining order. One night stands make me feel empty, yeah, which means it went great.
Oh, no. Forgot about that joke.
That is so freaking funny, man. I'll tell you what, that bit is worth the price of admission alone, Jeff, as far as I'm concerned. And good news, behind the scenes, our producer, Sam Minkervis, has come through with the answer. Most countries in South America teach English as part of the standard curriculum in both public and private schools. However, the quality of instruction, proficiency levels, and educational resources vary significantly across the continent. Now, I have no idea what I just said, but there's your answer.
Well, we have parts of our own country that are like that, that barely teach English.
You are correct, sir, as Ed McMahon would say. Yes. You are correct, sir, as Ed McMahon would say.
You know what's funny, Steve, is we just kind of proved, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but we kind of proved what I said about the that I started focusing on being funny and not worrying as much about the ventriloquism, but it had to be funny because we're selling my show on a record. So it better be funny.
Better be funny is exactly right. You know what? You're right. You know, I often ask about the process of songwriting with a lot of, you know, a great musicians and songwriters, but I'm also fascinated with the process of constructing your routines and, you know, wondering if there's methodology. I mean, again, does that process start with you? Kind of first and foremost, are you doing it for yourself? Does it have to resonate with you before you're even going to bounce it off of anybody? Does it have to connect with you? And also, I have to assume, but only you can answer this question, is it somewhat cathartic for you considering the subject matter that you often express?
Yeah, it is funny how there's so many comedians that live to 100 years old. And I there's just something to that. One of the things, all the other things I love about what I do is I'm allowed to laugh at my own jokes because it's the other guy that told them. And if I'm a good actor, I will act and react the way a person just standing next to him talking to him would. But there are some times where there's ad libs that actually happen in the show that watching the audience, listening to the audience, and the fact that this guy said it and I didn't, it makes me laugh. And then that's my favorite way of developing material. If it's an ad lib or something unexpected that happened on stage that turns into a thing and that turns into a bit that I'll go the next night, I go, I'm going to make that mistake happen again and do that same joke. And then it just builds on itself and it organically turns into this huge, great bit. So that's one of the ways. The other ways is, literally just and we talked about developing a sense of humor, whether you're born with it. I really think that sitting down and writing and dying on stage or succeeding on stage those are the ways that you learn. And you learn what makes people laugh and you learn how to read a room and you get that 30,000 hours on stage. And you eventually get better and better and better at it. And the simplest way, if somebody's trying to figure out how to learn to do stand-up comedy, the guy that opened for me this past weekend, I told him it's the same way that Dan Whitney, Larry the Cable Guy, said that he got started. He would literally take a joke book and the joke would be two guys walked in a bar and Dan said, I would just change it to me and my uncle walked in a bar and he would just personalize it. So he went through jokes from a joke book and personalize them. And he started building his act very simply way back in the day when he became Larry the Cable Guy. And so
amazing.
That's one of the ways is just you come up with one good joke and then you build around it and put a theme to it. And then those little nuggets start to grow and then they turn into full on bits.
Yeah. like I said, we should have really charged a cover charge here for this master class. But, you know, also, I mean, you know, a thing that's really important to understand, too, is you also have to find your lane, right? You can't, like, be all over the board. Like you were saying, you know, one comedian is a storyteller. You're, you know, you have a different approach. You can't be all over the board in terms of the style.
Right. And I think that when you find it, and it's the same way with the dummies, with the characters. For years, I tried to find the correct main character for me. And, you know, it's the stereotypical little boy dummy on the knee. Right. And I come up with different characters after different characters. And finally, I came up with Peanut, and he became my everyman. He became my Bugs Bunny, my Mickey Mouse, my Kermit the Frog. But yeah, so that's how that worked. I find your lane, your own style. It's the same kind of thing that you got to work at it and finally figure out what it is that makes your act different.
Yeah, but this isn't about trying to teach people how to be comedians. This is about how people can enrich their lives by owning a copy of one of the best comedic albums ever released on the planet. And if you don't agree with me after you purchase it, first of all, it's a visual work of art, purple vinyl, some of the funniest stuff, especially in this day and age. The man, you know, just sticks his neck out and he goes in so many places that, you know, we wish other comedians were comfortable doing. And it's not a knock on some other great comedians. But this is also an heirloom because one of our all-time greatest comedians has also agreed to sign copies of this album. And it's I'm With Cupid. So you know what? It's a limited amount of copies. Once they're gone, they're gone. You'll regret it if you don't pull the trigger now. And I don't mean pull the trigger literally. I just mean hit the button on Talk Shop Live, Comment Shop on YouTube and Facebook, and click the link in the body of the description on YouTube. And let's check out another great moment here. And this is from Jeff's, again, album entitled I'm With Cupid. This is my new favorite character, Walter, because I just have visions of him sitting on my lap without wearing anything, which is really disturbing.
If you show me with no clothes, there's going to be a lawsuit, Steve. Not funny.
It's not funny. I would take that back. I meant that with love. My apologies, love? Walter.
Michael.
I meant that with love professionally. So let's check out Walter, man. The man deserves an Oscar for this performance. AKA Cupid. Here's greeting card. Please roll the digital before I get roasted any further.
It gave me a rash.
Greeting card's a good way of expressing your love for someone.
Oh, sure. Yeah, greeting cards are good for anybody. In fact, I've written a few myself.
Some greeting cards. Can you recite a couple for us?
Sure.
Do you have one for longtime married couples?
Oh, absolutely. Here we go. Our love all these years has been a blissful occurrence. I wish you would die so I could collect the insurance.
No.
Okay, how about one for younger couples?
Younger couples, great.
Okay. Meeting you was amazing luck, and I think of that most each time that we... Whoa, 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 whoa! Have dinner. What'd you think I was going to say? You're a bad man.
I had forgotten. Again, Steve, it's so funny because it's been a long time. I mean, you know, I forgot it because I do that show. And once the special is out, I throw all that material away and I start all over again. So sure. I'm laughing because I've forgotten about these jokes. That was just
you know what else is great though? The reason why you can still laugh at it after all that time is because your comedy's timeless. Really is. It's true, man. Stands the test of time. And I mean, that's why I think, you know, that's why your career is sustained as long as it has, you know, without question. And Walter absolutely deserves the Oscar as far as I'm concerned, kind of rethinking him sitting on my lap, though. What does the latter half of 2026 hold for you, Jeff? You got a lot of dates, man. You're going to Australia eventually, too, aren't you?
Yeah, going to Australia again. And it's just the tour starts up again in September, and that's going to be right there. Oh, I have a new character coming out. And he's all on paper right now, but I'm starting it soon because we just finished the last tour And but this guy, I'll give you a hint, Steve. There's a lot of UFO activity going on right now.
I'm loving that. I don't even want to know what the answer is, but I'm there. Yeah, you get, man, you got my money. I'm buying tickets.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we let you go, Jeff, man, it's absolutely been an honor, man, and a pleasure. One of the highlights of the 5.5 years I've been doing this. We'd like to thank all the fans for being here this evening and for their support of Talk Shop Live, but more importantly for Jeff Dunham through all the years. And also special thanks to Rachel East. Thank you so much, Rachel, for all you did. Tana Roberts and everyone at Comedy Dynamics. And also to Jake Anderson, to Sam Fruner, and to Darcy Shellman and Gracie Moore, all from The Orchard, who helps distribute these beautiful records to our fulfillment partners at All Media Supply that ensure you personally get it. And to Brian, Sandy, Tina, Brad, Joe, Jenny, Lavani, Marty, Kate, Brendan, and behind the scenes doing a great job, as well as checking a box on that answer about English in South America, Sam from Talk Shop Live, but most importantly to Jeff Dunham for continuing to provide his brilliant comedic gifts for all of us. And Jeff, before we part company, any last words you'd like to share with your fans out there this evening?
I just want to thank you, Steve. It's not an easy job to interview all these different people. You did an amazing job. You asked some great questions. I appreciate your time and your talents very much as well. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I'll tell you what, I'll wear that like a badge of honor, sir. And as they say, the check is absolutely in the mail. And and I'm going to contemplate what it's like to have Walter sit on my lap, man. It's like a Christmas present come earlier, I think, maybe.
And you need one of these, Steve.
Yes. Yes. Yes, indeed. Please, I'll forward my address. You know what? I absolutely do, man. You made my night for sure. I pick up the forthcoming new comedy album from Jeff on purple vinyl in a limited edition, by the way. It's limited press. I'm with Cupid, exclusively on Talk Shop Live. The purple vinyl is personally autographed by the man, the myth, the legend himself, Jeff Dunham. While you're at it, pick up copies for your friends and family. You got Father's Day coming up. You got graduations. You worked hard. You deserve it. Your friends and family will thank you for it. And I have a good authority that it will enhance everyone's quality of life. If you don't love this record, you reach out to me at steve@talkshop.live. I will make it right. That's how funny this man is how great this album is. And again, if you love what we do here, check out talkshop.live to view hundreds of the very best artists and entertainers who many have autographed their albums and books for fans just like you. Jeff, thanks again, man. An absolute honor and privilege and pleasure to have you here this evening.
Thank you, Steve. Hope to do it again sometime.
I'll take you up on it. There's a welcome mat with your name on it anytime that you'd like. And looking forward to that 4th of July or 250th anniversary of the Birth of Our Nation special. It's going to be a great one. With that, everyone, stay safe. Enjoy life and rock on. Before you check out, we got one last bit. Don't turn it off. Jeff, we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Steve. See you guys. Thanks, everybody.
Online dating? Well, I thought that maybe we could help you out by filling out a profile on one of those sites and see how it goes.
Oh, okay.
I pulled up the site. Yeah, and let's enter your profile. Let's see what happens.
Okay. Height, 6'4".
You're like 2'4".
Objects in there are larger than they appear.
Okay, now it's asking your relationship intent. Is it long-term, short-term, short but open to long-term, not sure?
Is there a check, box, floor, when, then, thinking them?
Okay, sexual orientation.
Upside down.
No.
Sideways?
No, about face. Stop it!
That's what she said. No,
I have no idea what you're doing. She also said that. What do I enter?
He said that.
Stop it!